So we are holding on Yud Tesamar Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Hamisha Domin Tmeim Be'isha. There are five shades of blood that are Tomei, when that make a woman Tomei as Nida or Zava or what have you. Any other shade is Tahar. We'll see in the Gemara how we know that. We'll see in the Gemara how we... Yeah, and actually, well, actually, it's an interesting point. We mentioned briefly yesterday, but the Sefer Achinuch and a couple of other Rishonim, the Smag, I think, also say that the reason is because only these shades come from the uterus. Any other shade of blood is coming from somewhere else in the body, such as what we learned yesterday, the Aliyah, the ovaries, or the bladder, or what have you. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to say that not. The Rambam just says that only that with Gzeres HaKosev, basically, or Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, or whatever, that only these five shades are Tomei, and everything else, even if it comes from the uterus, is Tahor. We'll see in the Gemara how we know this concept, that there are certain...
That's
okay, but the other one is also a way of understanding it, that there's different shades of blood that come from different parts of the body, and so, yeah. Ha'odim, number one, and we're going to define them more precisely, but first let's have a basic list. Ha'odim, red, Vashachar, and black, or Keren Karkoim, and like the Keren of Karkoim. Karkoim is a type of flower that they get saffron from. It's called crocus in English. No, the spice is called saffron. They use it in Indian cooking, for example. The flowers that we're talking about, the color of the flowers that it comes from, which are orangish or something. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, anyway. So Rashi explains Keren means like the corner of a garden where Karkoim grows. Other Mepharshim say that Keren over here means, as it does in some other places, it means the color of. So it means the color of Karkoim. Okay. Anyway. Number four, Okumeme Adama. Number four, like Keren Karkoim. That was the third one. Adam Red Rashi. Keren Karkoim. That's the third one. Karkoim is saffron. Karkoim is saffron. It comes from a flower called crocus in English. So we're talking about the color of the crocus flowers. So again, Rashi explains that it means actually like the color of the corner of a garden where karkoim grows, and other Mepharshim explain that pattern over here means the shade. So it means the shade or the color of karkoim. Again, we'll have more precisely in the Gemara how to more precisely define these.
Where do they get black from?
Because black is, as it's oxidized blood, basically. Think of it like when blood... No, so yeah, actually, when for example, consider when you have a scab forms, for example, it's often black when blood gets oxidized outside of the body. Yeah, it becomes black. Okay, anyway. Ukameme Adama, the fourth one is like earth water, which we're going to define further on in the Mishnah, that there's a place in Eretz Yisrael that has reddish earth, and so you mix that with water. Ukamozug, and the fifth one is like diluted wine. So even though it's not a strong red, it's a weaker red, it's a pinkish maybe sort of, nevertheless, it's still tummy. Okay. Bet Shammai says those aren't the only five. Ask Meme Tilton, also like the water that, also like the liquid that comes out of Tilton, which is fenugreek. It's a chilba, they call it nowadays. It's a spice. It's a reddish color. It's different than any of the reds that we've been discussing in the Mishnah. Or Kameme Bosat Soli, and also they say, for example, like the liquid that comes out of roasted meat, those they say would also be colors that would make her tummy. So according to them, you have seven altogether. Or Basila Matarim, whereas Basila would say that those are tougher because they're not on the list. With that said, by the way, we do have to point out, the Gemara already is going to point out, already in the times of the Gemara, we're going to have Rav Ashi later, for example, commenting that they didn't have the expertise necessarily to be able to distinguish the fine distinctions between shades. And as the Golos went on longer and longer, then in general, you know, we say that we don't have the expertise for that. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe attributes it already to the times of the later Amoraim or the Gaonim, that we don't make these distinctions. We say anything that is reddish, or anything that has a tinge of red to it, is generally considered tummy. And actually, you have so Achronim talk about, for example, they talk about certain shades of yellow. So actually, our missionaries going to talk about Yorick, which according to the vast majority of Rishonim means yellow. We're going to have Machlokes at Tanoim about it. So in principle,
Yorick
can mean green. However, Tosfos points out over here that it doesn't. Because in fact, usually
there
isn't. That's the thing. The word yarik in Gemara terminology can mean any of a range of colors. It can mean green, although usually then it'll say yarik kikauti, that Tosfos points out on Amud Beis. Then usually it'll say yarik kikauti, green like a leaf. Yarik can also mean yellow. Sometimes even Tosfos in Sukkah that discusses the possibility that yarik sometimes might even be a bluish color. Anyway, the posts can say that basically any shade which somewhat resembles red. So even, for example, certain shades of yellow, now in principle they might be tahor, as our mission is going to go on to say, but because we don't have the expertise to be able to tell, then we sometimes have to be mekame then misafik. They talk about also, for example, what about various shades of brown? The acronym talk about, for example, let's say the color of chestnut, so the color of coffee. Is that mekame or not? Most of the acronym say that it's not, because it's not red, it's not reddish. Some of them say, but on the other hand, red blood can easily oxidize to those colors, and therefore maybe it should be. Some of them are machmir only during the first couple of days of bedikus, and are makel during the rest of the 7 clean days.
The problem with all this is that what comes from the uterus is blood, but it's not only blood, but materials that are not.
Well, that's
blood.
Exactly why we're saying that there's 5 different shades that, in principle, that could be. It's not always going to be bright red. It could be any of these various shades of red that we're talking
green,
about.
It could be
well, it's not going to be green. It's not going to be green. I mean, unless the woman is an alien or something, you know. But no, it's a brown. That's the thing. So you have the acronym do talk about it. That's that various shades of brown. Some of them, there are some of the acronym that are machmer on certain shades of brown, especially like medium shades of brown that are very similar to the color of blood. But for example, dark brown, like coffee, let's say, they're generally makel on. I remember once seeing, by the way, in Rabbi Blumenkranz, Olav HaShalom, the one who does the Pesach guide, he also has a sefer on the halacha of Nida. He was also an expert in these things. People would bring him such shaila. I didn't know him personally, no. Actually, I did. I one time stayed Shabbos at his house, but that was many years ago. But anyway, so he has a sefer on Hilchos Nida. So he mentions there that actually when people bring him a brown one, the first thing he does actually, he says, is sniff it, make sure that it's not excrement, because sometimes you can have. You do a bedikah and somehow a little of that gets on it, and obviously that won't make kotame. So, but once we rule that out, then we have to see whether it's one of the shades of brown. But anyway, okay, continues the Mishnah. Okay, yorik. So now when you have blood that is yorik, now again, on the surface, yorik could mean green. But most of the Rishonim, if not all, say that that's not what it means over here. A woman doesn't have green blood, and there's no reason to think that green should be considered anything that would be metame her. Basically, as we're going to say in the Gemara, it's basically only various shades of red that are metame her. The only reason we said black is, again, because blood can oxidize and become black. But green, it says blood is not going to become green. At least under normal circumstances. So therefore, so the vast majority of Rishonim, if not all of them, say that yorik over here means some shade of yellow.
It's not
going to be yellow. No, but you can have a discharge. You can have a discharge that's
but
yellow.
That's not blood.
Fine, that's the question. Is it metameh or not? Is it might there be some blood mixed in with it, or might there not? So, Akavya ben Mahal metameh v'cham metaren. Akavya ben Mahalal says that she's tameh, and the Chacham would say she's tahor. Again, nowadays, practically speaking, if you had such a shade, you would have to be metameh her, because we don't have the expertise to know whether there's a little bit of red, whether it tends a little bit to it. The Chum say it's tahor, but that's when we had the expertise to be able to tell, to be able to distinguish one fine shade from another. As the Gemara is going to say, you have sometimes where you have a slight difference in the shade will make all the difference. So what we mean by yellow, so various, we're showing him talk about various, they compare it to various things, the yellow of an estrog, the yellow of beeswax, the yellow of an egg yolk, whatever, that kind of yellow we're talking about. Okay.
Right.
Amr of Meir, the mayor says, wait a second, even if you're going to say that it's not blood, even if you're going to say that it's not metame for as a stain of blood, metame mishum mashke, at the very least, though, this yellow discharge that comes out of her, it should have the din of a liquid, that it should be machshir l'kabel truma, like blood. Rabbi Yossi, I mean, rather, loy kach v'loy kach, Rabbi Yossi says, no, not one and not the other, it's not metame her, it's dam nida, and it's not, im ene metame mishum kestim, Rabbi Meir says, even if this yellow discharge, you're going to say, is not considered blood, and it's not metame her, it's a stain of blood, metame mishum mashke, it should be metame, it should still be considered blood, in the sense that it can be mashke food, it should be makabal truma, so if it falls on food, then the food should still be susceptible to truma.
Yeah, but
Rabbi Yossi says, no, not one, not the other. It's not like blood at all, for reasons that we'll see in the Gemara. Again, even though it came from her body, and even though it did come, it may well have come from her uterus, nevertheless, it's not metame, as we'll learn in the Gemara. Okay. Now let's start defining these colors a little more precisely. Ezehu adam, what do we mean by red? We mean kedam hamako. We mean the kind of blood, we mean the color of, the red color of blood that comes out of a wound. We'll see in the Gemara a few different explanations of what kind of wound specifically. We're going to define it more narrowly. What is shachar? What is the definition of black for this purpose? Kecheres, like the color of ink. Ink, like sofer ink, is a very deep black, so that's the kind of black we're talking about. Omer, cheres means, cheres with a samach means earthenware, but cheres with a soft, Rashi translates it with a French word over here, which translates as one of the components of ink. Adrament, which is some kind of copper sulfate, or I forget what exactly, whatever. It has a very deep black color. Okay. Anyway, so that's black color. Almost mikan tome. If the color of the blood or the discharge or whatever is a deeper black than that, so it's even darker than the black of ink, then tome, then it's tome. Deha mikan. But if it's paler, if it's
navy blue, I think.
No. Deha mikan. But if it's paler than that, tahor, then it's tahor. So if it's not a deep black, in fact, on Omid Beis, you have Rishonim, we'll talk about, the Gemara is going to mention a couple of different kinds of black, some things that are actually on Chofa Moralis, rather. We're going to talk about some things that are black, that have various shades of black out there, and the Gemara is going to mention, one thing is, Rishonim talk about there's a difference between glossy black and flat black. So our Mishnah is talking about flat black. When you have something that's glossy black, then that's different. It's not necessarily considered black for this purpose. Okay. By another color, by the way, that the poskim achronim talk about in this connection, for example, is what if the discharge is gray? So if it's a lightish gray, then fine. It's not at all light black. Therefore, you can't be metameh. But if it's like a medium gray, then it's similar to black. And again, since we don't have the expertise to know what's considered solid black and what's not, then we might have to be metameh.
Not anything.
Again, if it's green, then you're metaharit. If it's green, you're metaharit. If it's blue, you're metaharit. If it's a very pale yellow, they can also be metaharit. If it's a dark brown, they can also be metaharit. There are shades that can still be metaharit nowadays, but you have a wider range of colors that you have to be metaharit nowadays to be on the safe side. Anything that has a reddish tinge, basically. Okay. Anyway. Okay, keren karkoim, what do we mean by the corner or the color of karkoim? That means kaboru shaboy. Specifically, we look at the clearest shaded leaves that are in the leaves of the plant that have the reddest color. We'll see in the Gemara how we kaboru shaboy, like the clearest, the ones that have the clearest, the most distinct red color. We'll see in the Gemara how we figure that out exactly. The fourth one we had on the list was a kumeme adama. We had like earth mixed with water. That is mibikas base kerem. We take earth from the valley of base kerem. It's a valley in the north central Galil. The earth there was red.
They still have this thing.
Yeah, I mean, the valley still exists, yeah.
No, is the water from there still?
No, it's not the water. The earth there is reddish. So what you do is you take some earth from there, umetzif mayim, and you cover it with water. You pour water over it until, as the Gemara says, the water covers the earth, and then you use that. Then you look at that shade and see whether it matches the shade of the blood. Ukum mozug, and then the fifth one in our list was in the list in the Mishnah was diluted wine. That is shnei chalokim mayim ve'echad yayin. The kind of dilution we're talking about is two parts water and one part wine. I mean hayayin a sharoni, specifically from the water, specifically from the wine of Sharon, which is a region in Eretz Yisrael. Basically, it's the coastal areas of Eretz Yisrael, like north of what's nowadays Tel Aviv. The area north from Tel Aviv northward until like Denaria, I guess, or something, is the Sharon, whatever, however you pronounce it. Chasev Kamatel. The Sharon refers to that, yeah. So the one, it's basically the coastal areas north of Tel Aviv, yeah. So the wine from there has a certain red shade to it, so therefore you have to dilute it two parts water and one part wine, and that's the shade that you're looking for.
Why it's called Sharon?
I don't know. No idea. Okay. So the Gemara starts out. Menolon de ikadam tahor beisha. First of all, how the chlal do we know that there is such a thing as tahor blood that comes from a woman? And we're saying that there's five shades. And by the way, the previous Gemara had mentioned four because, like we said before, and as the Gemara is going to explain, really blood is not, really black is not a separate shade. It's not like the blood normally comes out black, but it's that you can have the blood comes out some other color and then it deteriorates to black because it oxidizes or whatever. So basically, you have four shades of red. Plus, you have what they can deteriorate to black. Okay, so, but how do we know that only those? Maybe we should say that any discharge that comes from the woman's uterus, maybe any blood-like discharge that comes from her, as long as it's got the consistency of blood, regardless of the color, tomei, maybe it's tomei. How do you know not? Amar Rav Chama bar Yosef, Amar Rav Oshia, because like this, Amakra, you have a pasuk in Parashas Shoftim that goes like this. If there is something when it comes to a judgment in Torah that is hidden from you, you have something that's obscure to you and you don't know what the halacha is. For example, ben dom ladom, you have a case of distinguishing between blood and blood. So what does that mean? And the pasuk continues that you have to go to the Sanhedrin and they paskin for you. And if somebody doesn't listen to the psak of the Sanhedrin and he keeps on paskin halacha against them, then he's a zaken mamre and he gets the consequences that we learned about in Sanhedrin. So what do we mean ben dom ladom? He says means ben dom tahor ladom tomei. Means that you have a case where you're arguing about the distinction between tahor blood and tomei blood.
In the context,
the pasuk is saying that if you have an argument between chachamim in any generation, for example, ben dom ladom, or the next one is ben nega lanega, you have a few different cases that it mentions over there. Where then?
Ki yipolim
in chadav ala mishpat means in a case of judgment. In a case of judging a case in halacha. Is this woman tamei or is this woman tahor? Does this person owe the other person money or not, etc.? So in all these cases, what you do is the kamtavali. So you go to the Sanhedrin, the lishkat hagazis, and they pass it for you. So therefore, the fact that it says vein dom ladom means vein dom tahor ladom tamei. It means that you have to be able to distinguish between tahor blood and tamei blood. So in other words, there's a situation where you have a discharge from a woman that might be tamei, might be tahor, and you have different chachamim arguing about it, and they go to the Sanhedrin. So we see from that that it's tahor blood. That's fine, but then the question is not the blood itself. Then the question is how long. So then the expression in the pasuk wouldn't have been ben dom ladom. It would have been ben zman lazman or ben yomim layomim or whatever. Because for that matter, I mean, we had
something like zero.
That's fine, but the bottom line is, in other words, the fact that the pasuk is using the expression ben dom ladom means that there can be an argument regarding the blood itself, forgetting about the circumstances, when, what days it took place, or where you found it, in the vagina, as we talked about yesterday, or all these other things. Within the blood itself, there can be an argument between the chachamim: is this shade tamei or tahor? So we see that there are shades, that there are tahor. So the question is, elamei asa, by that law, should be nega la nega. The pasuk continues. Another example is they have an argument between one nega and another. Hochinami be nega tamei la nega tahor. What are you going to say? That they're arguing about a nega, about saras, whether it's tamei or tahor. What do you mean? Yeah, but what do you mean? Yeah, of course, you have to show it to the kohen. But how can there be an argument whether a particular nega is tamei or tahor? V'chitema hochinami, you're going to say, maybe yes, there could be such an argument. But you have to ask. Nega tahor mi ikka. Is there even such a thing as a nega which is tahor? V'chitema, so you're going to say, of course there is. Kulei hapach lavan tahoru. We know, for example, the pasuk mentions that if a person is completely covered by saras, then they're tahor. So then you would say, okay, let's say there could be an argument between the chachamim. Is this person considered completely covered by saras or not? Because you have, the Mishnah mentions, they were negoyim, for example, if there are certain parts of the body that don't have to be covered with saras, and nevertheless the person is considered to be kulei hapach lavan. So maybe they could be arguing about that. But the Gemara says, no. Hahu boihak mikri. Because if that happens, if the person is completely covered with saras, we don't even consider it saras. We call it by the name boihak, which means like freckles or something. It's just considered like a skin condition that has nothing to do with saras.
It could have meant that the pasuk we're talking about.
If we're saying ben nega la nega means saras.
Right.
So the implication. So if you're telling me ben dom la dom means there's blood that comes from a woman which is tamei and blood which is tahor, and there can be an argument what is tamei and what is tahor, implying that there is tahor blood, you'd have to say the same thing about nega. Ben nega la nega would mean that there's negoyim that are tamei and negoyim that are tahor, but there are none. What about the person who's completely covered with saras? You don't call that a nega. Then if it's not called a nega, the definition of nega, the definition of saras, is when it makes the person tamei. If it doesn't make him tamei, we call it a boyak. So then you can't say they nega or nega.
But because you see it in the blood, you have five shades. You should do the.
Okay. If we say bain dom la dom, it means that there's blood which is tamei and blood which is tahor.
By nega, there's no dom.
That's what we're at. Okay. You have bain dom la dom, bain nega la nega, both in the same pasuk. So if you're telling me that bein dom la dom means there's dom tamei and dom tahor, then nega, it has to mean there's a nega tamei and a nega tahor. But where is there a nega tahor? Anything that's tahor is not a nega by definition. Ela, so you must say, what does the pasuk mean when it says ben nega le nega? It doesn't mean that there are negoyim that are tame and negoyim that are tame. It means ben nige odim le nige basim le nige godim. It just means that there are different types of nega that can appear on different surfaces, because you can have negoyim on people, and you have negoyim on houses, and you have negoyim on clothes. The kulan tmein, so all of them are tame. So the pasuk is not saying, in other words, that you have a situation, for example, where there's a person has saras, and some chachamim are arguing he's tame and some he's tare. Because if the ones who hold each Torah wouldn't call it Saras at all, wouldn't be called a Nega. It means, in other words, that you have, for example, there can be a case of Negoim on people where they're arguing. You can have a case on, you can have a case of Negoim on houses where they're arguing. You can have a case of Negoim on clothes where they're arguing. V'cholam tmein. But in all three cases, we're talking about there are Negoim that are tamei.
People, houses, and clothes.
Hochanami, the same thing over here. You could say, what does it mean, vein dam le dam? It doesn't mean different shades of blood. It means vein dam nida le dam ziva. The argument could be, is this blood considered to be dam nida, or is it considered to be dam zava? Not the type of, when during the month did it happen? Does it make her, does it give her the din of a nida, or does it give her the din of a zava? V'cholam tmein, but you could say both of them are tamei. Still, where are you getting that there's such a thing as tahor blood? So the Gemara says, hi, Mai. What kind of a comparison is that? The Shlema Hossam, actually, we can say that very well, yes. There is, when it comes to Negoyim, we actually can distinguish Ikalach Lugi B'Nigei Adam. There actually can be an argument about Negoyim on a person, whether they're Tomei or Tahar, where we can still call it a Nega, but there'd be a Machloikas whether that is a Nega Tahar or not. Namely like this, so we plug the Jerry Shur, but Rabbanim. We can have, for example, where the Chachamim in a certain generation are arguing in the same point that Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim argued on. Bitznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Negoyim, this is the famous Mishnah also in the story of Rabba Baba Chana, Rabba Bar Nachmeni, the famous Rabba of Shas, where he had to run away because they had mastered on him to the government, and he's sitting over there and learning Torah, and meanwhile they're arguing on this point in the base in Shomaila, and they call on him, and it's time for him to leave the world. He's called up to Gan Eden, to the Yeshiva Shomaila, in order to decide the case. Famous story. Anyway,
he mastered to the
government. No. Somebody mastered him to the government, so he had to run away. But now, at this one point in the story, he's sitting in the forest learning Torah, and at that point, the base in Shomaila is discussing this halacha, and they say, Rabba is the greatest expert in this generation, in the dinim of Negoyim, so we should call on him to paskin it. And as he's passing away, he says his view on it. Anyway, the Mishnah says, "Im vaheres kodim l'seir lovam tam." There's a whole mimer on it in Likutei Torah, by the way, about the deeper meaning of that whole story. But anyway, "Im vaheres kodim l'seir lovam." If the white spot on the skin came before the white hair, we know the Torah tells us that if you have two or more white hairs in a saras spot, then the saras is mukhlat, and the person is definitively a mitzora, and he has to go outside the city, etc., etc. So if the baheres was there before the white hair, tamei, then the person is tamei. The im seir lovan kodim lo baheres. But if the white hair was there first and then the baheres came, tahor, then the person is tahor because that white hair then is not a simen tumah.
How would you know when you see both?
What do you mean? Because you would know. The person knows. He had white hair there before. He was an old man. He had white hair already. And then a baheres developed. Suffolk. What if you have a suffolk? Which one came first? So the Tanakhama says tamei. V'Rabbi Yeshua oimer keha. The Tanakhama says Tomei, Rabbi Yeshua says Keha, which literally means, the word Keha literally means dull. So what does that mean? V'Omer Rabba, dull, a dull color. V'Omer Rabba, Keha v'Tahar. So Rabba clarifies what he means by that. It's as if it became dull. We know that Saras is only considered, is only Mekame a person if it's one of four particular shades of white.
Shekaha
Marisa. So therefore, we consider it as if it was a Nega that became a duller white, which is already a Simen Tara. So therefore, in other words, when Rabbi Yeshua says Keha, it amounts to saying, I consider this Nega to be Tahor. Rashi gives another explanation, that the word is not Keha with a Kaf, but Kiha with a Kuf, which means he objected to the matter. Kiha b'dav of a Nechmasala, Kuf yud hei hei. Okay, anyway, the point is, so there you have a case involving with a Kuf, it means to object. Like, v'afafa hakeh shinav. You blunt his teeth. Yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is that we see that when it comes to Negoyim, we thought that any time that a person is not Tomei from a Nega, then you can't call it a Nega, you call it only a Bais. But here we have an example. Rabbi Yeshua agrees that it's called a Nega, because there is a baheret. There is something that has a proper shade of white, and it does have white hair in it. Rabbi Yeshua is saying, though, that we consider it as if it was dull, and therefore it's tahor. So therefore we see, so there is an example where you can have an actual machlokas bein nega la nega, between a person has the situation, a suffix, whether the baheret or the white hair came first, and we have a machlokas. We have a machlokas tanoim, and there could have been a similar machlokas in earlier times when the Sanhedrin was sitting in the Lishkas HaGozis. So therefore you could say that, yes, it implies there is such a thing as a nega tahor. Same thing, the negate batim, the same thing when it comes to negoyim on houses, you can also find where you have something that is considered a nega, but maybe it's not metame the house. Namely, for example, you have an argument also in the Sefer Negoyim between Rav Elazar ben Shimon and the Rabbanon. This man, Rav Elazar ben Shimon, Omer, La'olam ein habayis tameh, a house that has taras is never tameh, ad shiyaroa kishnei grisin, unless the spot is the size of two grisin. We learned a few days ago about the size of a gris as it refers to Hilchos Nida. So you have different opinions, the size of a penny or the size of a dime or smaller than that, whatever. Anyway, so it has to be the size at least of two grisin. Al shnei avonim, on two stones, meaning one, at least one gris on each stone. B'shnei koslim, those two stones have to be in two adjacent walls. B'keren zavis, it has to be in the corner where the two walls join. If you have one part, so you have the saras, is has to be specifically, Rav Elazar ben Shimon is saying, on the corner of the house where two walls come together, and you have it partly over here on one stone and partly over here on the other stone. The length of it has to be at least two grisin, and the width has to be at least a grisin. So therefore, and now the Chachamim disagree with that.
The length of the
and in the case of a house, it's not white. In the case of a house, it's deep red or deep green. But whatever, the point is that the size of the spot, he says, has to be on two stones that are on adjacent walls. Whereas the Chachamim disagree. And my timer did a velocity of Shimon. What do they say? That not, as long as it's the size of a gris or two gris. I think they agree it has to be two gris, but they don't hold it has to be on two separate stones, and they don't agree that it has to be in a corner, etc. My timer did a velocity of Shimon. So why does your velocity of Shimon say what he says? So like this, ksiv kir or ksiv kiros. Because on the one hand, the Pasuk mentions that the Kohen that you find the saras on the kir, which means the wall, singular, but then you also have sukkim that mentioned over there, kiroi, you find the saras, the kiroi habayit, on the walls, plural, of the house. A zehu kir shu kishne kir, so Rav Elazar ben Shimon says, what's one wall that's like two walls? Have emet keren zavis, that keren zavis. That means of necessity, it means a corner. So that's where he gets it, has to be in a corner and one part of the saras on one wall and the other on the other. So again, there you have an example within Nige Batim, where you have both the Chachamim and Rav Elazar ben Shimon will agree that if it's smaller than that, it is considered a nega, it is considered saras. But Rav Elazar ben Shimon would say it's not enough to be in the time of the house, and the Chachamim would say it would. So there you have that. Yes, bein nega la nega could actually mean that you have a distinction between the goyim that are tamei and the goyim that are tahor.
It's smaller than. It's a gris, you said.
If I remember correctly, the Chachamim agree it has to be two grisin, but they don't hold that it has to be on two separate walls. So if it was all on one wall, for example, then right. Okay. And nige b'godim, and when it comes to nige b'godim, when it comes to taras on clothes, also I can find a potential machlokas that Chachamim might have regarding something which is definitely considered a nega, but the question is whether it's metame or not. Namely, b'plugta de Rav Yonasan ben Avtolmas v'Rabbanan. They could be arguing about the point that Rav Yonasan ben Avtolmas and the Rabbanan argue on. The Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Rav Yonasan ben Avtolmas Omer, minayin l'prichas begodim shehi tahora. How do we know that if tzaras spreads all over a garment, then it's tahor? So we said before that if tzaras spreads all over a person's body, then he's tahor. Kulei hafach lovin tahoru. So now Rav Yonasan ben Avtolmas wants to tell us the same thing is true of clothing. How do we know that? He says, because we make gzeira shava. Never karachas v'gabachas v'begodim. When it comes to clothing, the Pasuk uses the expression that you find saras on the karachas or the gabachas. Rashi explains over there that karachas means worn out clothing, and gabachas means new clothing. Karachas literally means bald, so it means like clothing that's already been worn, like the nap of it is worn out, as opposed to gabachas. Means Rashi explains actually what it is when it comes to a person. Okay, so like this, The Pasuk uses the word karachas and gabachas regarding people, regarding sarach that might occur on a person's head, where gabachas means when the person is bald in front, and karachas means when he's bald in back. I had a fourth grade Rebbe who told us a good way to remember it. Gabachas, the gimel, is close to the front of the aleph bays, and kuf is towards the back of the aleph bays. Anyway, so the point is that the point is therefore so now when it comes to clothing, so gabachas means the ones in there. So with a person, whether the tzaraas is on karachas or gabachas, either way it makes some tzomit. And it uses the word karachas and gabachas there. It also uses the word karachas and gabachas when it comes to clothing, where Rashi explains on the pasuk over there what it is like this. Given that gabachas means boldness in front on a person, and karachas means boldness in the back, therefore, metaphorically, gabachas can be used for the beginning, the front of something, like the early stages of this clothing, and karachas, which is the back, can be used for the back, namely the later stages of this clothing. So karachas and gabachas, when it comes to clothing, would mean whether the clothing is old or new. But instead of just saying old or new, using the word karachas and gabachas, v'nema karachas and gabachas ba'adam, then by a person it also uses the same word karachas and gabachas to mean whether he's bald on the front of his head or the back of his head. Therefore, that gives us a gzeira shava. Ma lahalan parach b'kulei tahor, just like with a person, if tzaraas spreads all over his body, or all over his head for that matter, then he's tahor. Afkan nami parach b'kulei tahor. Therefore, says Rabbi Yonasan ben Atomos, the same thing when it comes to clothing, if tzaraas spreads all over the whole thing, then it's tahor. So again, so we have now examples with bein nega lenega, where there can actually be chachamim are arguing about something that is considered a nega, definitely. Everybody will agree it's considered a nega, but is it metame the thing or not?
Calls a nega.
The fact that objectively it is a type of tzaraas. For example, in the first example that we had over there with the person, he does have a baheret. He does have a spot on his skin, which is one of the four shades that would make him tzomet. We just don't know whether white hair grew in it, whether the hair that's in it changed color after the baheret developed or not. So therefore, we can call it a nega either way, but Rabbi Yeshua, even the third, Rabbi Yeshua is going to say it's tar, the Chachamim are going to say it's tar, but either way, it is a nega. The same way, for example, with the house. You definitely have a spot of the correct color on the wall, and it is the right size and everything, but it's not on the corner. So the Balazar Rabbi Shimon says, I don't care about it, the house is tar, the Chachamim are going to say the house is tame. And the same thing with this last case over here where you have tzaraas all over a piece of cloth. Unquestionably, it's tzaraas. It has the right color and everything. But again, it's spread all over, and therefore, Rabbi Yonasan ben Atolmos would say it's tahor, and the Chachamim would disagree.
Justifying the expression ben nega.
So therefore, that justifies the expression ben nega lenega.
Until it spreads out completely on the body of the house of the begotten. Wasn't it tummy at that point?
And yeah. Well, so actually it depends. You actually have in Masechta Negoyim and in Rambam and Hilchos Tumas Tzaraas, you actually have a distinction whether the tzaraas first began, for example, with a person. Did it first begin on one area of his body and then spread to cover his whole body, or whether to begin with it started on his whole body? There are differences in halacha, but let's not get into that. The point is, if I remember correctly, if it starts from a small area and then it spreads to his whole body, that's when he's tahor, if I remember correctly. But if it starts to begin with on his whole body, I think then he is tahor, actually. I don't remember for sure, but whatever. Anyway, the point is, elahacha, but now let's get back to bein dam ladam. You're arguing, you Maxin are arguing earlier that maybe there's no such thing as dam tahor. Maybe bein dam ladam just means there's definitely blood that came out, and the only question is she nida or zava? But e dam tahor leka. But after all, you have to ask, if there's no such thing as tahor blood, but my pligi, then what is there to argue about? Yeah, again, they could be arguing whether she's nida or zava, but either way, she's tame, whereas in the cases that we brought over here with bein nega lenega, you're asking whether she's tame or tahor. So obviously, there must be some kind of uterine blood that can come, some kind of uterine discharge, which is blood-like, except for the color, which could be tahor. So therefore, you see that there must be such a thing as tahor, as tahor shades of blood. So now the question.
We conclude that because
when it comes to bein nega lenega, we're able to find cases where it's definitely a nega, but the argument is whether it's tamei or tahor. So by the same logic over here, there has to be something which is definitely blood. It definitely has the consistency of blood, but nevertheless,
maybe all the bloods that don't have these five shades should be considered tahor.
That's what we're saying. That's exactly what we're proving. how do we know that there's such things as tahor shades of blood? How do we know, for example, that if the blood is green, let's say, then she's tahor? Because we see from this that there's such a thing, bein dam l'dam. Okay. So now the question is, mi'mai dahani tahor and bahani tmein. Okay, so how do we know then which specific ones are tameh and which are tahor? Amar Rav Abahu da'amar kru'a, because like this, we know that it's blood that makes her tameh. And we have a pasuk that describes the color of blood, vayiru moya batamayim adumim kadam. The pasuk in Malachim that says that Moav saw the water that looked red like blood. And it's a whole long story over there. The king of Yisrael and the king of Yehuda and the king of Edom are going to fight against Moav. They're running out of water on the way. Elisha tells them that Hashem is going to make it rain, and you're going to have water, and also you're going to defeat the Moavim. So what happens is in the morning, there's pools of water over there in the desert, and when the army of Moav comes over there, and there's never been water in this area before because it's a desert, and all of a sudden they see pools of liquid over there. It looks in the morning sun like blood, and so they think, oh, so now our enemies, the three kings and their armies, are probably fought against each other, and now all we have to do is get the spoils, and they get them there, and they get soundly beaten in battle. Anyway, so the Pasuk uses the expression that they saw the water red like blood. Lememra dedam adam, who therefore we see from that the definition in halacha of blood is that it's red. Therefore we see there has to be a shade of red. Okay, ema adam betuloi, in that case, then how do we know that there are four shades of red that we said in the Mishnah? How do we know? So maybe it only means the bright red of dan maka, the first one on the list. How do we know the other ones? Amar Abba, da'amakra, dameha, hare kanaba. Twice in the psukim, when it talks about a woman bleeding and becoming tameh, twice it uses the expression dameha, her blood. Miut rabim shnayim, dameha, her blood means two. When it repeats it again, it makes four. 1 second. So far, harekan arba. So we have four because of the word dameha. Okay, the question is, v'hanan chamishas man. What do you mean, though? The Mishnah mentioned five. And the answer is, Amar Rav Chanina, shachar adam hu, what we mention in the mission of black, the dark black of ink, essentially adam hu, it essentially is red blood, ela shalaka, but it deteriorated and it became black, it oxidized, or whatever exactly it is.
It's not red.
That's the point, though. It started out red, and therefore it still has to be considered red for that purpose.
Then you have four.
So yeah, essentially you have four, but you have the color can deteriorate and turn to black.
That we didn't say, because it has to be derivative of red. Black is not
it is derivative of red, not on the color wheel, but it's derivative chemically.
We said it has to be the color of red.
But that's what we're saying. It's red that turned to a different color, and therefore that is still considered in the category of the red.
Because it started out as red,
and therefore we still give it its original status of red. In fact, we learn like that in the Braisa. Shachar kecheres, we said in the Mishnah.
Anything that's red could turn any other color, then you don't have to.
Now that you mention it, actually, there is an interesting thing where the Bach mentions a concept. He says sometimes after a woman bathes, if shortly after that she has a discharge, it may be whitish, where the blood has gotten bleached because of whatever she bathed in and turned white. And he wants to say in that case it would still be tameh by the same logic. And the Paz and various other Achronim disagree with him because we mention in this connection black, maybe because the idea is black is a more normal color for it to turn, whereas white is not. Whatever it is, the point is that's how it is. Black is not really considered a separate color for the purpose. It's just an outgrowth of one of the other colors.
Blue not be a separate color?
Because blood doesn't turn blue.
It could.
It doesn't.
Actually, blood does turn blue.
Okay. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learned similarly in the Braisa, Shachar Kecheres, when he said black like ink, almost Mikan Tomei, if it's a darker black than that, then it's Tomei Deha, if it's lighter in color, Afilo Kekoil, even if it's still as dark as Koil, which is a type of eyeshadow, which is a very dark blue, so that's what you're talking about, navy blue, let's say, Tahar, nevertheless it's Tahar, and the Braisa clarifies, the Shachar Zeh Loi Mitchilote Hu Mashchir, it's not that the blood started coming out black. When it started coming out of its natural place in the body, humashu, then it turned black. Moshe l'dam maka, it's like blood from a wound. L'chenekar, when it comes out of the body, humashu, then it becomes black because it oxidizes. So therefore, that's what it is. So the black is fine. So it's not, in other words,
you could derive that to any other color.
No, because we have the Chachamim figured out that the only color that's normally going to, the only color that's normally going to turn blue is okay, but it doesn't generally.
When
maybe
it, when it's poor in oxygen, it does become blue.
Okay,
that's one of the main characteristics.
Okay,
so
but
why yeah, the Gemara doesn't,
the Gemara doesn't talk about that, because I don't know. The Gemara didn't consider that to be something that blood normally turns to. We're talking about that it turns after it comes out of the body.
Kochel
here means like navy blue, like you said, like a dark blue.
So that's
even, but nevertheless, though, we're saying it's not.
This is the case of what the Gemara mentioned.
This is what we're talking about. Right over here, kochel. We said it right over here.
Right, no, but I mean...
The Gemara is saying that if it's not a solid, if it's not a deep black, then it's color finished. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, B'shamay Imam Akimemi Tilton, we said that B'shamay adds two more. They said like the liquid that comes out of fenugreek, which is a spice, it's a
Tilton.
Reddish liquid. Tilton, Rashi translates. No, but it's a type of seed. It's a type of seed that the seeds themselves, I don't know what color they are. They're yellowish, I think, or whatever. But there's a reddish liquid can come out of them when you cook them. Nowadays they call it chilba, and they use it in Yemenite cooking, for example. Okay, anyway. So they mention that. They also mention like the liquid that comes out of roasted meat. So you know, this is what he means. The less little bit shama dameha dameha arekanaba. What about the limud we just said that dameha dameha implies that there's only four shades of blood? How are they getting sick? The answer is ibayis emaleslahu. One possibility is indeed they don't hold of that limud. Or as the Aruch HaNer says, maybe not that they don't hold of it at all, but they say there's more than that. You have, like, actually, the Tursus HaRosh says that maybe what it means is they don't hold that that's the exclusive source of it. They would say that, yes, you have Dameha, Dameha, tells us four, but in addition, you have other sources from which you can learn other colors as well.
So how do we know six?
So then they would say, so those two, because those are also colors of Resh.
Which one?
No. We said Kamehme Tilton or Kamehme Basatol. Is like the color of liquid from fenugreek, and like the color of liquid that comes from roasted meat. So that's one possibility, is they don't hold a dameha dameha, at least as an exclusive way. I think the Aruch HaNer says differently. He says that maybe they would say, fine, I don't hold a dameha dameha at all. I hold halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, what shades are tameh and what are tameh. The boyseim islahu. Another possibility is maybe the Shammai does agree with that limud, but mi lo amar Rav Chanina shachar adam hu el shalaka. We just said that Rav Chanina had said that the reason why we include black is because it is blood that was originally red and then it just discolored. Hachinami, milkahu delaki, the same way. But Shammai could say, how does the blood come to be one of these colors, of one of these reddish colors? They're not a solid, red, but they're a lighter red, they're pinkish red or whatever. They would say, same thing, it started out as a more solid red and then it discolored. Let's say, for example, because of anemia or whatever, I don't know. Then we said in the Mishnah, Basil Matarin, but Basil says that those shades are tar. So the question is, Hainu Tanakama, isn't that the same thing as the Tanakama? The Tanakama had mentioned four shades of red plus black, but Shammai is adding two more. Basil is saying this Matar. So Basil is saying exactly the same as the Tanakama. What are they adding? The answer is, it could be Nahu Lisloy. The argument between Basil and the Tanakama would be, are we Tola? Do we consider it to be a suffix whether these things are Matame or not? The Tanakama says that there are five. Meloshin Tolan, like we've been learning throughout the Sefer about being Tola Truma. So the Tanakama would say when we say there's five that are Matame, means those five are Matame Vadai. Any other one, there might be other ones that could be a suffix. But Hillel is saying absolutely not. Tahodin means completely tar, not even a suffix. That's the question. In other words, so if, let's say, she had a discharge, the color of the liquid from roasted meat, so the Tanakama would say, stop it, Tome, the Shame would say, Vade Tome, and the Silla would say, Vade Tahar. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Yorik, Akavi ben Mahal on the Tame, we said Akavi ben Mahalalo says that also Yorik is Tome, and we, as we said before, Yorik, as Tosfos says over here, doesn't mean green, it means yellow. Tosfos compares it, for example, to the color of an etrog.
How do they call yellow in those days?
They didn't. They just said the word yorik in Gemara terminology can mean green, although usually it's called yorik kakauti then. It can mean yellow, and there's a Tosfos in Sukkah that discusses that maybe even it could mean blue sometimes.
And Tahav is probably...
Tahav is a more modern name for it, yeah.
They didn't have a specific word for
Apparently not. Different languages have different color terms. Somebody did a study ages ago where they found like all languages in the world have names for black and white, and then if a language has three color terms, then the third one is always going to be red, and if they have four color terms, then the fourth one is always going to be, I think, green or something. I forget how it went exactly, but like different languages divide up the color spectrum differently. You have, for example, I think there's a Zohar, for example, you know, we're always used to saying that the rainbow has seven colors. There's a Zohar, I think, that speaks of it as having three colors, because it depends how you divide up the colors.
A prism has 12 colors.
Fine, but the point is, in other words, depending on how you define different colors, you know, they say, for example, women are a lot more sensitive to the different shades of colors than men, right? So, most men can't distinguish certain fine differences of color that women are often more sensitive. Whatever. Okay. Anyway, so again, the question is, again, what about the limud we said before that dameha dameha means there's only four shades of red? So why is he including yoreh? So again, like we answered for Beit Shammai, one possibility is maybe indeed he does disagree with that limud. Either, like the Tosfos HaRosh says, he would hold that there's some other source that tells us more shades, or like the Aruch HaNer says, he would hold that we learn it from Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah. Or another possibility is maybe he does agree with Dameha Dameha, but like we said before, Milo Amar Rav Chanina Shaka Adam Huel Shalaka. Again, Rav Chanina had said, how are we getting black because it's red that became discolored? Hachanam Milko Hudalaki, the same thing. Rav Kavya might say that a yellow discharge started out red and then the color deteriorated or changed or whatever chemical change happened to it, and it became yellowish. Okay. Fine. We said the Chachamim Matarim. The Chachamim, we said, argue with Akavya ben Mahalalo, and they say, means that the color changed. Degenerates. The Chachamim Matarim, we said, the Chachamim say that yellow is tar. So again, the question is, Hainu Tanakama. Isn't that exactly the same argument? Isn't that the same as the Tanakama? That again, Tanakama had mentioned four shades of red plus black. Akavya ben Mahalalo is adding yorek. The Chachamim Matarim sounds like they're just repeating what the Tanakama said. And again, like before, the answer is Ika Benayu Litzloy. The argument, again, would be, are we Tola Truma that she touched, for example? According to the Tanakhama, if she had a yellow discharge, we still have to be Tola. Maybe it's Matame, or maybe not. Therefore, the Truma is Sopik Tome. According to Akave Ben Malala, it would definitely be Tome. And according to the Chum, it's definitely Tome. Okay. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, Amar Rav Meir, Imeinu Matame Mishum Kesem Chola. We said, Rav Meir had said that, fine, you're saying that this blood, which is yoreh, you're saying is not going to be matameh as a nida, but shouldn't it be matameh as mashke, it should not be matameh as ketem, it should be matameh as mashke. So what does he mean by that? That he said, in eino matameh mishum ketem, if it's not matameh because of a ketem, shouldn't at least be matameh as a mashke. So what does he mean by that? Amar Rav Yechanan, Yorad Rav Meir L'shitas Akavi Ben Mahalalel V'Timei. It means that Rav Meir is following the logic of, he's following the logic of the opinion of Akavi Ben Mahalalel, and he's Metamei this blood. So namely, V'Hochi Ka'amalahu L'Rabamim. So Rav Meir is arguing to the Chachamim like this. Nehi Dehechad Kamashkachas Dam Yorad Amona. Granted, if you find a yellowish stain on her clothing, for example, loy mitam istu, fine, I can accept that you're going to say that she's not tamei, because after all, it's yorek, and not necessarily did it even come from her body at all. It's one thing when you find a red stain, there's strong reason to assume it came from her body, unless, like we said, you know, unless she was in a butcher shop or what have you. Here, where it's yellow, and it's unusual enough to come from her body, fine, says Rav Meir, I can accept that you're not going to be mitamei her on those grounds. That's what he means in Eina Matamim Shum Kesem. But, Hecha de Kachazya Dam Yorek Migufa, but if she sees the actual, this Yorek blood, this yellow blood, bloody, this yellow, yellow blood-like thing coming out from her goof, Katame, shouldn't it be Matame? That's the point. In other words, Rav Meir is saying, because that's the point that we're saying, that Rav Meir is following Akavya ben Mahalalel's Shita. So he's saying, which is that we said that Dam Yorek is Matame. Akavya ben Mahalalel apparently would say it doesn't make a difference. Akavya ben Mahalalel himself might hold it doesn't make a difference whether she actually sees it coming out of her body or whether she just found a stain of it on her clothing.
But my question is, how would Akavya ben Mahalalel distinguish yellow liquid between blood and something that's not blood?
So if it has the consistency of blood, let's say, we'd say, I don't know.
Unless both liquids have the consistency. consistency of blood.
Okay, so
how would he make the difference?
Okay, we don't know if he would. He just says that Akavya ben Mahalal says that Dam Yorik is Makame, period. But now the mayor is saying, I'm arguing with you, Chachamim, like this. I hold like Akavya ben Mahalal that essentially such blood is going to be toxic. I'll agree, fine, that if you find it on her clothing, then fine, the likelihood is it may not have even come from her at all. As it is, the whole concept of a kesem on clothing is always a suffix, whether it came from her or not. But if she's back, what?
The whole
concept is the Rabbanan, right. But hecha de kachazia dam yorek migufa, but if yellow blood comes out of her body, so we know it came from her, there's no suffix on that, Kitame, then it should be Matame her, because after all, I hold like a Kavi ben Mahalalo that such blood is Tame. So that's what he's arguing with the Chachamim. So the question is, Ihochi, if that's what Remeir means, then what is it? Then the wording he's using is not accurate. Im eina Matame shum kesem, Matame shum mashke, why is he saying if it's not Matame as a kesem, as a stain, Matame shum mashke, then instead it should be Matame as a liquid? What do you mean? What does liquid have to do with him? He should be saying it should be Matame if she actually sees it coming out. So obviously that can't be what he means. No. Ela hochikam, rather, what it is Rameir is saying to the Chachamim as follows. Nihi hecha de kachazia dam yorek. It can't mean that he's holding that. It can't mean that he's holding that, that if she sees it coming out, it should be tome, because then why is he using the word mishamashke? So rather, yeah, fine, but then you don't have to use the word mashke, you say the word roya. We've always had in the whole Masechta so far, you know, we never use the word mashke in this connection. We're talking about, he's going to use the standard terminology that everybody else is using.
They never correct the Mishnah when they revise it in the Gemara, the Mishnah stays the way.
Sometimes the Gemara will say chasura mechasura, sometimes the Mishnah will say, sometimes it will say such and such ain a Mishnah, but in general, we try to keep the wording as it is, because, you know, we assume
and
that.
You would use the word mashke.
Yeah. So now, what it means is like this. Ella hachikam. No, what it is like this. Rameir is arguing as follows. Nehi hecha de kachazia dam yorek meikra. So granted, fine. If she starts by having a yellow discharge, fine. Lo imitamitu. You're not going to be mitamitu. Forget about Akavya ben Mahalalel's opinion. Fine. I can agree with you, Chachamim, with the Chachamim of his generation as well, that yellow blood is not mitamitu. By the way, the Gemara, the Mishnah mentions in Adius the whole story about this, that there were...
On the basis of the contradiction with...
On the basis that we said that there's only Dameho, you only have four, and that's it. Yellow is not in that category. By the way, the Mishnah in Adius tells a whole story over there, how Akavya ben Mahalalel argued with the Chachamim on four dinim. This is one of them. The Chachamim offered him, the Chachamim at that time were looking for a new Av Beis Din. So they didn't want an Av Beis Din that has an ongoing machlokas with the rest of the Chachamim, with the Sanhedrin. So they offered him, you retract your opinion on these four things, and we'll make you Av Beis Din. And he answered them, better I should be considered a fool for my entire lifetime that I was willing to give up such a chance, that I shouldn't be called a Rosha for one moment in front of Hashem, that it should possibly be thought that I gave up my opinion in Halacha in order to get an honorable position. So he stuck to his opinion, and the Mishnah goes on to say that before he passed away, he told his son, you should follow the Chachamim's opinion in these things, because he says, me, I learned from many Rebbeim, and they learned from many Rebbeim, so it's many against many, but you've heard these opinions on these things from me alone, you've heard the opposite opinion from all the Chachamim, and therefore you have to follow the majority as it is nowadays. Okay, anyway.
Said that about himself.
No, because he himself learned from many Rebbeim.
Majority saying the opposite.
That's fine, but he is entitled because in the generation that he heard it from, the opinion that he heard was not necessarily the minority opinion. It may have been an equal number of Chachamim on both sides.
It was not the minority.
When he was a yeshiva bacher and learning this din, whenever, when he was in yeshiva and learning this din, when he learned it, there were many chachamim who held this way, and he learned it from them. There were also many chachamim who learned the other way, and he heard from them.
Where's his son?
Not his son heard it only from them. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So the point is that Rameir is saying like this. Fine. Forget about Akavya ben Mahalalel's opinion. We can agree that if she had dam yorek to begin with, she's not talmid. Fine. But, he says, Rameir was arguing about this. Hecha dechazia dam odem. Suppose you have a woman who first had a red discharge, so therefore obviously she's coming, as a nidur or a zava, as the case may be. But hoder chazia dam yorek. Let's say sometime after that, during the few days after that, she has a yellow discharge. Tame, shouldn't that yellow discharge also be metame things it touches, because it's liquid that came from the body of a nida, midi to have our mashka zov v'zova, because it's like the case of other body liquids that come, for example, saliva or urine, that come from a zov or a zova. Right. In other words, yeah. The same way, for example, as if she were to spit on something, the saliva, if somebody else touches it or Caleb touches it, it's an avatoma and they become tome. So the same logic, this dam yorek should be no less than that.
We said that the five liquids.
Later on in the session, we're going to talk about that. But the point is, Rameyer
says that about this.
No, we didn't mention this. So Rameyer is considering that this yellow discharge should be, have no less a status of truma than her saliva or urine or what have you, and therefore it should be metame, at least as liquid that came from azov. From azov, it should be an avatruma. Their Rabbanon, what are the Rabbanon answer to that? The difference is they say liquid that is going to be from a zov or a zov that's going to be an avatruma has to be dumia deruik. It has to be similar to saliva. Because where do we learn the whole concept that liquids that come from a zov or a zov are metame? The pasuk mentions if a zov spits on a person who is tahor, then the person and his clothes become tame, meaning that the saliva is an avatruma and that the saliva that touched the person is an avatruma and therefore it's metame the person and his clothes.
That token you said urine is considered also.
Hold on. Once the pasuk says saliva, then we learn by a binyan av that there are certain other liquids that have the same rule, but they have to be similar to saliva in the sense ma roik shemis agol v'yose. Just like saliva gets together in a gob, and only then does it come out. Meaning in a gob, like in a collection, like agol in bulk. Yeah, mis agol literally means it becomes round. You don't have, for example, saliva doesn't just dribble out of a person's mouth. Person collects a bunch of fine when you're talking about an 80-year-old person. They're fine. Most of the time it doesn't. Most of the time, how does a person spit? They collect a gob of saliva in their mouth and then they spit. So therefore, we see from that other kinds of liquids that are going to be the same thing that are going to be an avatruma. Akolshim is agoviyotze. Any other kind of liquid which first collects in the body and then starts coming out, for example, urine, is also in the same category. That doesn't really care what it looks like. The point is it comes out of the body in the same way. It collects for a while, and then it comes out.
So he says, Dumia means...
Dumia means similar. The similarity has to mean agol. Right, no, of course not. La puki hide. So therefore, as opposed to dam nida, or opposed to this yellow discharge, gain this agol v'yoyte. It doesn't collect for a while and then come out. It dribbles out as it comes.
And there was an opinion that said that it pouches. It's like...
We talked about at the very beginning of the Masechta that maybe you could have it gets overfilled and then a little bit leaks out.
But
usually it doesn't. Usually it comes out as it starts shedding. Then it starts. No, but it doesn't necessarily collect in bulk and then come out. You don't have if you were to surgically open up the womb of a woman who's a nitty, you wouldn't find a huge gob of blood in there. You'd find a lining. You'd find a lining of the uterus which is being shed. Okay, but the point is, that's the point. In other words, but you don't have a whole gob. You don't have a whole round thing of it. It's not misagel. It's not like you don't have a whole round collection of it that then comes out. So therefore, it's not the same thing. So the question is, and that's the difference. Well, that's the difference of the various liquids. So that's the, yeah. So the question is, that's the point. Therefore, tears are not an avatruma. That's the point. That's exactly the point. So the question is, No, I didn't say tears were an avatruma. Tears are a rishon matruma. Tears from a zav or whatever, or one of the three that are a rishon matruma.
Is the
we said there are three that are an avatruma, three that are a rishon matruma, and three that are not matame at all.
Yes, six that are not avatruma, but they're still compared to rok.
They're not compared to rok, because if they were compared to rok, they would be an avatruma. That's the point. The only ones that are an avatruma are the ones that are similar to roik and that they're misagol v'yotze, and those are only three, saliva, urine, and shechvas zera. So the question is, yihachi shapu kamri le'rabbanon le'rameir, in that case, the rabbanon have a very good point against shechvas. So that's what Rameir means when he says mitame mishumba. Mishum Mashke. He's not arguing that he's saying that she should be tame because if she sees it coming out of her body. He's saying that once she's already a nida anyway, if yellow liquid comes out of her body, out of her uterus, then it should be considered like a Mashke Lov. And the Chum is saying, yeah, but it's not the Sag over here. So the question is, well, then in that case, in that case, the Rabbanan have a very ironclad argument against your mayor. So what is your mayor thinking? He knows that it has to be the Sag over here. And he knows that this yellow stuff is not. Yeah. Ella, no. We have to explain what Rameyer is saying differently. Rameyer is just arguing when he uses the word mashke, lehebe to mashke, lahakshur es hazroim. Fine. Granted, this yellow stuff is not going to be metame her. But it is, after all, similar to blood, because it did, after all, come out of a uterus, and it has the consistency of blood around everything. So it should have the dinim of blood, lahashuris, it should be a mashke, it should be one of the shiva mashkin, lahashuris azroim, namely that if it falls on food, it'll be mashke with a tabal truma.
Zroim means
food. And, yeah, it means food in general. The reason why we use the word zroim is because the pasuk in Parshas Shmini, when it introduces this concept, uses the word zera. So that's what he means, metame mishamashka. Not that it should actually be metame, but that it should make things susceptible to becoming tummy. V'rabbanan, and then Rabbanan answer to that, they would say, boi dam chalolim v'leka. They would say, but where do we learn that blood is machshel the kabal truma anyway? We learn from a pasuk that mentions dam chalolim, the blood of the ones who are killed. Well, it means, of course, yeah. So therefore, we learn that only blood, sha'nefesh yosebo, that the life force of the animal, or the person, comes out with it, is considered dam, is considered a mashke. And here it's not, because here it's not regular blood. Beleka, so it's not. But we learned about this in Cholin. We had a whole machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what exactly dam chalolin means in this connection. But whatever, the point is, the Chachamim said, this yellow stuff doesn't fall into that category.
The Chachamim derived the mashke tumor from dam chalolin.
Every one of the Shiva Mashkim, the definition, how do we know something is considered a Mashka, that's Mashka or the Kabbal Truma, is if there's a pasuk that refers to it being drunk. So therefore, when it comes to blood, how do we know? Because you have a pasuk in one of Bilam's nevuos, in one of Bilam's brachas to the Jewish people, he uses the metaphor of Adam Chalolim Yishteh, they will drink the blood of the slain, not literally, obviously, but I mean metaphorically, in other words, like they'll take over the wealth and everything of the nations of the seven nations of Canaan that they wipe out. So the point is, we see the pasuk uses the metaphor of drinking in connection with blood. So therefore, we see that blood is considered a mashke. But because the context is dam chalolim, the blood of the corpses, therefore we see that it only applies to blood, shan nefesh yosebai, that the life force goes out with it. So that wouldn't apply to this yellow stuff. So therefore, then I want to say, no, it's not considered a mashke. So, again, the question is, Yehochi Shapur Kamri Le Rabbanon Le Rameir. Well, then we're back to that Rabbanon then have an ironclad argument against your mayor. So what is your mayor thinking? He knows that it has to be Dam Chalolim. No. Ela Hochi Kamalahu. No. Rather, we're going to try another possibility. What does your mayor mean with his argument that it should be Matami Mishamashke? He's arguing like this.
Second argument from the mayor that we
read. Yes, we went through a few possibilities, right. So what he's arguing is like this. He's saying, Al-Fuha B'Gzera Shava, shouldn't you be learning with Gzera Shava that this stuff that comes out of the woman, even though it's not strictly damn, even though, he would say like this. This stuff, we would consider it blood, because after all, it would in principle be considered blood were it not for the fact that it's not red. And he says, You Chachamim are arguing that only Dam Chalolim is Machshir, but I would... Meaning that Dam Shan Nefesh Yotzebai, but Rav Meir is saying, I can bring you a Gzeirah Shava, which you should be able to use to say that Dam Nidus is also Machshir. Like this, in other words, the Chachamim are saying that the blood, the regular blood of a Nidah, not just yellow blood, but even red blood of a Nidah, is not Machshir the Kabbal Truma, because it's not Dam Chalolim. Rav Meir is arguing it should, because I can bring you a Gzeirah Shava for that purpose. Al-Fuah B'Gzeirah Shava. You have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Shlochayich Pardes Rimonim. Your Shlochayich are an orchard of, explain in a second what Shlochayich are. One second. Are an orchard of pomegranates. What does that mean? The simple meaning of Shlochayich, Rashi explains on the pasuk, means like your infertile fields. Like, in other words, even like metaphorically. Like, but Rashi explains, Rashi over here explains what it means is Shlochayich, Meloshin Shiluach, Meloshin sent out. So it refers to Dam Nidus, which is expelled from the body. That blood is like a Pardes Rimonim, like an orchard, which is locked up. You don't just let anybody in there. The same way, Jewish women keep themselves locked up and won't have relations with their husbands as long as they're nidah. So we see the word shlochayich used in connection with nidah. We have a pasuk in Eov that refers to sending out Hashem sending out water into the outskirts, and sending rain. So we see the same shorta shalach is used for both shlochayich and shalach. It's the same shorta. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So therefore, he says, we have a Gzeirah Shava, therefore, that the Shorta Sholach refers to water, and it also refers to Dam Nidah. So just like water is Machshir, so Dam Nidah should be Machshir. That's his argument. V'Rabbanan, and then Rabbanan answer back to that. okay, Adam done kavachomer math. Sure, if you bring a kavachomer that you came up with on your own, then sure, we could accept it. But the ain't Adam done zera shava math. Yeah, kavachomer is something that's left. Yeah, so you can come up with a kavachomer on your own. The ain't Adam, because as long as it's logical, but yeah, the ain't Adam done zera shava math. Remember, when it comes to a zera shava, the chacham and Torah Meir, you can't come up with one on your own unless you received it from your rebbein. Fine, we didn't receive it from our rebbein, such as zera shava. So therefore, so no good, because Rashi says, why not? Because after all, what's the whole point of Gzeirah Shavah? You have an extra word or phrase in one pasuk and in another pasuk, and therefore you're comparing them. But how do you know it's extra? Maybe it's needed for some other limud.
You wouldn't know that,
So Achronim talk about when you get down to it, this one isn't a genuine Gzeirah Shavah anyway, because after all, the pesukim that we're talking about over here are from Shir HaShirim and from Iyov, they're both from Ksuvim, and neither of them are from Chumash anyway. So it's not really an honest-to-goodness Gzeirah Shavah. It's more like an asmachta.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the Chachamim say, fine, but you're treating it as if it was a Gzeirah Shavah, then still that won't work. Okay, but anyway, so that's Reb Meir's argument. He wants to use that as an asmachta to argue that Dam Nida should be Masha, and the Chacham should say, and the Chacham say no way.
And it's not Masha.
And therefore it's not Masha. Right.
So if it drops on a food...
So if it drops on a food, nothing happens. Right. Okay.
On the Rambam, the Gzeirah Shavah has to be extracted from the based on the Gadol.
Okay, well, I mean, ultimately, it comes from a person's rebbein who ultimately got it from the Beit Sinagoga. Okay. All right. Then we said in the Mishnah of Yosi Yom Eloi Kachkola, we said in the Mishnah when Reb Meir says that it should be Matameh at least as a Mashke, which now we understand what Reb Meir means. Then Reb Yosi says neither one or the other. It's not Matameh who is a Nida, and it's not Mashke food to be Makabel Tuma. So the question is, Hainu Tanakama. Again, isn't that the same thing the Tanakama said? Which Reb Meir disagreed with.
Reb Yosi
says, loy kach or loy kach, neither this nor that. It's not metame a woman as nidah, and it's not makshur food to be makabel tuma. So what's the difference between him and the tachama? The answer is, hok mashmalon. The reason why the Mishnah mentions Reb Yosi is because the Mishnah wants to tell us, man tanakama Reb Yosi. Who is the tanakama of our Mishnah? That is Reb Yosi. Why is that important to know? Maybe go to loyim, as we learn in Pirkei Avos. Anybody who says over something of Torah in general, if we say it over in the name of the one who said it, he brings geula to the world. So therefore, we want to quote. Therefore, we want to clarify that it's not just an anonymous tana. We want to give the name Rabbi Yosi. Okay. Then we said, okay, so then the Mishnah has started to describe, let's get into the details of the nitty-gritty details of what each of these five colors are. We said, a zehu adam kadam hamako. We said the first one is red. That means red like the blood of a wound. So what does that mean? My kadam hamako, what kind of wound? Different blood, different
what
wounds.
Did you say there, Bob?
We said that red, mean red for this purpose, means like the color of the blood of a wound. But there's different kinds of color of blood that can come from different kinds of wounds. So what do we mean? Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, kadam shor shahu. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, it means like the blood of an ox that was shechted. Question is, then why use the word kadam amaka? Volema kadam shchita. Then in that case, use the expression like the blood of shchita. The answer is, iyom kadam shchita. Yeah, fine, but it still could have said shchita, and it would have been more clear. But the answer is, iyom kadam shchita. Fine, but if the Mishnah had used the word kadam shchita, hava aminika kula shchita, then you would think it means like the blood from the entire shchita process. Now it changes color as more of it comes out. Therefore, Kamashmon, Kedam Hamaka, by using the word Dam Hamaka, implies Kitchila Takar Shal Sakin, only like the blood that comes out with the first cut of the knife. That blood is the color that we're comparing, that is one of the shades that was the beginning of Dam HaNefesh, I guess, yeah. Maybe not, actually, the truth is, when you first start cutting, you're cutting through the skin, so it's not necessarily Dam HaNefesh yet. Whatever, it's bright, it's bright.
What do you call the blood
We still with the Zama Tamsis, the Zama Nefesh, the Tamsis is what dribbles out afterwards. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And that's what?
So that's later on. Yeah.
No, but what color is it?
I don't know. I'm right. I guess it's a different shade of red. I don't know. I've never shechted it off. Okay. Ula Oma Kadam Tzipor Chaya. Ula gives the second definition. It's like the blood of a Tzipor Chaya. Tzipor means a bird, but the question is, what does Chaya mean? Iboilu. Does the word chaya mean alive, and therefore it means the color of the blood of a live bird as opposed to a dead bird? So for example, if a live bird is wounded, as opposed to the color of the blood that comes out of a bird after it's dead, or maybe the word chaya can also mean healthy, as opposed to kochosh, as opposed to a scrawny bird. So which one does the word chaya mean? And the answer is teiku. We're not sure. So he means, so yeah, okay.
Does it make a difference in color?
Apparently it would. Ze'iri omer Rav Chanina. Ze'iri says in the name of Rav Chanina, a third definition, kedam ma'acholos shorosh. The color of red that we're talking about over here, which is kedam ma'aka, is like the color of a head louse.
Ma'acholos,
we learned the other day, means a louse, yeah. So the question is, Meister, you must have a contradiction. We learn later on in Amos Sefer, Hergamacholos, if a woman killed a louse, and later on she found a stain on her clothing, a blood stain on her clothing, she's able to attribute the blood stain to the louse. She doesn't have to assume, therefore, that she's nida. We can say the blood came from the louse that she killed. Now, my lab de kula gufa, when we talk about killing a louse, the pashtus, we mean anywhere that it could have been living on her body. So therefore, in other words, so we see it's not just the louse of a head that has a color similar to blood of Nidda, but the louse anywhere on the body. The answer is, no, the Mishnah may mean specifically a head louse. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the color would be the same.
Apparently not.
What difference does it make?
I have no idea. I don't have head lice. I don't have body lice. I've never killed either once. I don't know. Okay, but whatever. I mean, as I mentioned before, nowadays we don't have the expertise to tell these fine differences in shading anyway. Okay. Ami Vardina Amar Rav Abahu. Ami Vardina says in the name of Rav Abahu a fourth definition. The blood that we're talking about in our Mishnah is Kedam Espektana Shoyad, like the color that would come from the pinky of the hand, from the pinky, the small finger of the hand. Shenugfa, where the pinky was injured, the Choysa, and then it healed, the Chazra, the Nugfa, and then it was injured again. So that's the kind of blood we're talking about that comes from such a thing. Specifically from the pinky, specifically from the wound on the pinky that healed and then was wounded again. And the loy shall call Adam, and not if it's just from any person, ela shall bocher, but rather specifically from a young man. Shaloi not the isha, from a young man who hasn't yet gotten married. Because once he gets married and has relations, then the color of his blood changes a little bit. Bad kama, and even that is a limit, up until what age I've been eskrim, only when he's below 20 years old, because once he's above 20, again, then the color changes.
So what's specific about this blood?
So therefore, so that's the specific shade that the Mishnah is describing. You have a young man, a bacher, who's under 20, has not been married, and his pinky gets injured, heals, and then gets injured again. The exact color of blood that comes out of that is, according to Ami Bar Dina, is the exact shade of blood the commissioner is describing as one of the five shades that will be mutame a woman. Said Moses Meister, I have a contradiction. What do you mean that it has to be dafka, an unmarried man? Tola b'bno b'bayla. The same Mishnah later on in the Masechta describes that if a woman finds a blood stain on her clothing, then she doesn't have to assume it came from herself. If, for example, if her son or her husband had an injury, then, when they're lying together in bed, the blood may have gotten on her. So, the shleima b'bna mashkachatla is easy enough to understand how it could be her son, because her son could very well be could fit all of these criteria we just said. Ela b'ayla hechem mashkachatla. What do you mean, her husband? Her husband has already had relations with her, so therefore, he doesn't fit all these criteria.
That son is not married.
Right, but the husband obviously is married. Amr of Nachmi? No, because convention nichnas ala chuppah fala nivala. Suppose, for example, that she's already been to the chuppah with her husband, with the yichud room, whatever, but they haven't actually had relations yet. So her husband hasn't had relations yet, therefore he could still fit all of Ami Vardunah's criteria. But you're right, if he already had relations with her, then she couldn't be toiling him because the blood would be...
Right?
No, in other words, the point is, if he's older or if he has relations or whatever, then the blood is not quite the same shade of red. Some weaker shade a little bit.
It's weaker.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, a fifth definition, Rav Nachman Amar Kedam HaKaza. Rav Nachman says the color of the blood we're talking about in the Mishnah is the color of the blood from bloodletting.
But that's a contradiction.
Because it's
venous blood.
Okay, so one second. The Ramban learns that all of these definitions are not necessarily arguing with each other. The Ramban learns that all of these definitions are different ways of expressing the same thing. On the other hand, the Ramban seems to disagree. Okay, but the Rambam in any case seems to disagree with that, because the Rambam brings only Rav Nachman's opinion, Kedam HaKaza, and he doesn't.
Right.
It's not right or wrong. The Ramban was also a physician. Okay. The Gemara
is
made.
HaKaza.
Okay, maybe not. Okay, the Gemara says, Mace, we have a contradiction. We learn in a Brice, the mice of a toller, a mayor, a killer. One time it happened, a woman had a stain on her clothing, and
killer
is a paste that people put, that they put on the eyes when a person had an eye infection or whatever, they would put killer on it to heal it. I don't know, it was reddish. The point is that one time this woman had been using killer, so it's a little bit reddish. It's not a deep red like the kind we were talking about. But nevertheless, your mayor said that we can attribute that you found a red stain on your clothing. It was probably from the killer. You're not telling me as a
name. Probably when it's close to the head.
Maybe I'm
if it's
maybe, okay.
Low down in the body.
Okay. Because if it's further closer to the head, then you don't have to worry anyway. Because how does blood get from down here or top there? We'll learn about that later in the
session.
No, that doesn't matter because she was working with it, so therefore it could have gotten anywhere on her clothes. The Rebbe told of a snap shikma. Similarly, there was a case where a woman had a stain on her clothing, and Rebbe attributed it to the sap of a shikma tree, which is also reddish. So, my lava odom. Now, on the face of it, what are they saying? That she found a stain which ordinarily would be considered odom. Normally, therefore, if we didn't have these things to attribute, we would say she's tamei. But like this, because she was working with killer, or because she was working with sap of a shikma tree, then therefore we could attribute it to that. So that would mean, therefore, that odom is not quite such a strong red. It's a weaker red, like the color of those things. The answer is why, Ashadamim, not necessarily. It could be actually that it means there's, remember, we have four possible shades of red, so it could have been one of the other shades. Like this, they brought it to Rebbe or they brought it to the mayor. It does look like one of the other shades we mentioned in the Mishnah, one of the other shades that are not quite as deep a red, but the mayor said, okay, but you were working with killer, so therefore we can attribute it to killer. And Rebbe says you were working with a shikma, so we can attribute it to shikma sap. But not necessarily that those would be the colors of Adoim, but rather that those could be similar in color to one of the other three shades of red that we mentioned in the Mishnah.
Which is what?
Which, as we said in the Mishnah, we had over there the earth that was mixed with water, and we had the wine that was mixed with water and whatever. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow, that's the same.